You've reached the Every Riddle Bing help. Oh, damn it. Ha, 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 I can't talk today. Let me try that again. You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Every time I listen to your podcast, I learn so much, but at the end of each episode, I'm left with one burning question.
How is ELT made?
I don't want you to have to give away all your trade secrets, but what is involved when you decide to answer someone's question?
So what is the ideal question for your show?
And I understand that this is not your usual type of question, but I can't be the only one who thinks about these things.
You're not. Over the years, we have had many callers ask us, how do we make the show? I've got a panel of experts on hand, my colleagues, and we are going to answer every little question you have about every little thing. Welcome to ELT Behind the Scenes. So as you know, this show is built on listener questions. You all pitch us the stories every week. So let's start here.
How do you pick out which questions you answer?
What makes a good ELT question and how do we pick them?
Okay, great question.
This is supervising producer Annette Heist.
Hi, Flora. So when I'm listening to the calls that we get on the helpline, I want to hear someone who's genuinely curious about a question. Like, I've been thinking about this every night before I go to sleep for the past 7 years, and I can't get it out of my mind. I have tried Googling this. I have asked everyone I work with, and now they all move away from me when they see me coming because they're tired of hearing me talk about X. Please help.
Right. This is a service. And we want people who actually have run out of options and they have nowhere else to turn to find the answer.
Yes, like everything in life, we specialize in people who have run out of options.
One thing I'd add to that is that personal stakes are also really important.
That's senior producer Phoebe Flanagan.
I think some of the best stories that we do are ones where, you know, it's not just like an idle curiosity that someone's thought about once in the shower because they looked at a Reddit thread. It's like, if you know the answer to this, it's going to change some relationship in your life. Or like with our clumsy episode, it's going to teach you a better way to move through the world.
This is an episode that you produced where listener Gab called us because she was really struggling with her clumsiness. Here's a little of that.
I feel like I'm just knocking things over. My fiance is always moving things out of the way. There's tons of wine spilling incidents. It's a given almost that something's going to get ruined. I want to stop ruining good times and ruining material possessions. I really need help. Like, I'm for real.
You could hear the desperation in Gab's voice. That stakes.
Yeah. I think another thing that's key to us, because like sometimes we get calls where like somebody, they're genuinely curious, they have a personal stake, but it's like about, you know, something on their foot that's very specific to them. And like part of what we're looking for is questions that, yes, are like important to you, but are also going to be resonant with like other people who listen. So it's got to be relatable. It's got to be something that other people are going to be able to tap into in some way.
Great.
And then the last part is there has to be a good answer. Can't just be like, yes, no, or 1872, or as so often is the case, it happened at the turn of the century.
Right. Like the answer has to be a story and it has to be surprising.
Yeah.
Like we had a listener call in about fruit flies and it turned out we had no idea where they came from. No one had ever found one in the wild until a few years ago. And we talked to the scientist who found them.
Well, they were everywhere. We were like walking around in clouds of flies.
Was your heart racing?
It was. Yeah. Finally, find the wild flies. It was like, I don't know, it was like meeting Yeti, yeah? Or Bigfoot.
So yeah, some surprising twist is key.
Okay, so that's kind of our wish list for ELT questions. But if there's something you're dying to know, that alone is a good reason to call us. So don't hesitate. Now, once we have a good question, it's time to dig in and find people who can give us an answer. And you guys had a lot of questions about this.
We just cannot figure out how in every single episode you guys get the perfect person to answer every single question.
How do you get in contact with the perfect person?
Your guests seem to be so perfect.
Where do you find these extremely specific experts?
How do you do it?
I love that.
Here's Annette again.
I love that people called about that. It makes me feel good because we do spend a lot of time looking for these experts and it's nice that people notice. So how do we do it? It starts with research, combing through past news stories and Google Scholar. You want to find out who's working in the field and figure out who you want to talk to. And then from there, I guess there's two different chases in a way. Like if there's only one person who can tell you a certain story, like that person witnessed an event or they invented a particular thing, they were present at the creation of something. So that's one kind of chase where there's only one person you can talk to.
I'm thinking of our guest, Lottie Williams.
I made history by being the first and only person to have been hit by a piece of space debris.
Yeah, Lottie was great. So once we ID that person, then we're trying to find contact information for that person, which can take a while. Looking in the whitepages.com for someone's home phone number, hoping they still have a landline, and making calls. And nothing feels better than when you get that person on the line, you hear a friendly hello, and they launch into a great story.
It was a huge ball of fire shooting across the sky. You know, I don't know how many miles an hour it was going, but I mean, it was moving.
So that's one kind of chase, right? And then another one is the big, broad topic where there are literally, I don't know, dozens of people who could talk about it.
So how do we pick the right person out of dozens?
We try to look for people that are very familiar with the topic.
This is producer Jahi Whitehead.
Some of them in academia, some of them are masters at their craft or at that particular field. And we speak to them. We talk to them. It's a process. It's a pre-interview process that we do. And you really want to try to exhaust all avenues. The first person may be good, but the third person may be great.
I know you talked to a bunch of former NFL refs for a show you produced. What did you hear in the ref you booked, Tom Simonette, that you liked?
Well, the interesting thing about Tom, the pre-interview didn't start off great. He warmed up about 5 minutes in. And once he started telling his story about why he wanted to just get off the couch and what when he started reffing, and that's when he started to come alive.
But in my first game, one of the regular guys didn't show up. he got there late. So my first game was a highly rivaled.
The way he's able to laugh, his candor, his storytelling ability, just his recollection of events, he just wowed me.
The losing coach calls to say, hey, that guy on my side of the field, he did a good job. He was talking about me. So it was my first game. I got an accolade from a losing coach in a rivalry game. So they thought I had it, the it factor.
When you hear him, it's like you were there.
Yeah. If you call someone on the phone and like in the first couple of minutes, you've lost track of time, you just want to hear every single thing this person has to say. And you could stay on that line for an hour just listening to them talk. Then you found the right person. Like Junior Staggs, who was our auctioneer.
I mean, I've got a little lady sitting on the front row with blue hair who is attending this auction because she was in a Sunday school class with the deceased person that I'm having the auction for. And she wants some piece of that lady's life, some piece of her collection. She's never been to an auction before. And if I get up there and I'm going to, I mean, that's exactly what it's going to sound like to her.
He was like the second person I called. And as soon as he picked up the phone and started talking, I just kind of knew he was the one.
And I say, $5 bid it out, $10 now, $10 now, $10 bid it out, $20 now, $20 now, $20 bid it out, $30 now, $30 now, $30 bid it out, $40 now, $40 now, $40 bid it out, so on. I'm just changing that.
Just something in the enthusiasm he had for the topic. I don't know, you just hear it. Sense of humor, not taking himself too seriously. You're basically looking for the person who you can listen to for a while. Like who you want to hear more from, who you want to talk to. That's the person that you're looking for.
After the break, our special secret recipe for all the dumbass jokes you hear.
And that's tough to do liquid, all keto, right? I mean, that's mostly you're drinking marrow.
All right, so once we have a great question and the right people to answer it, then there's the art of putting that story together. And there's one facet of our storytelling style that's really stuck out to listeners and prompted some questions.
Hi, Flora. This is Phil from Massachusetts. I love your show, and I love every little pun that you guys do. I'm wondering if you guys have a conference before the show, like a meeting where you get together and you drink a lot of punch. I am punctiliously waiting for your response.
For this question, I knew there was but one person to bring on to field it. ELT editor.
Wendy Zuckerman.
Jorge Just. Welcome to our Q&A.
I feel honored to be here. I feel contractually honored to be here.
Okay, so what would you say to Phil from Massachusetts?
I would ask Phil what show he's listening to.
Say more.
I don't see any puns here, but I've found that as an artist, once you make your work and you let it out into the world, people will interpret it how they will. And it sounds like Phil probably loves puns, and he's probably seeing stuff that we're not even seeing.
He's bringing his own lens to the work.
Right.
Maybe we should listen to a little bit of a show just to make sure that we're not overlooking something about our own writing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
Let's do it.
Let me just go through the catalog here. I'll just pick one at random. Okay, let's play a little bit of this episode where a listener asked when we started taking care of our teeth.
Okay.
So that's a small bite of what we know about early tooth care around the world. The next stop on this tooth train takes us to Europe in the 1600s, where pearly whites were going through dark times.
In this period, teeth are disgusting.
Toothsome, it was not.
They're black and they're crumbling and they're very heavily kind of...
Yeah, I don't hear like a Punxsutawney, Phil. I've got a feeling that he's hearing things he wants to hear.
Yeah, he's got a cavity in his mind that he's filling up.
That's exactly right.
I mean, I don't want to brush him off completely because I can see how some of the language, toothsome, a small bite, it does happen to overlap with dental themes, but also...
It's just descriptive.
Yes.
It's almost like technical writing. It's like, unplug the router and plug it back in.
It's a coincidence.
Right. I mean, you can read into anything.
Yeah. And we're constrained on the language. It can't be a mouthful.
Absolutely. And so we try to, even though some of the ideas are very big, you try to use language that is like a primary education, like canine can somebody from in canine can...
making the language accessible for canine audiences.
Right. And even smaller if we can.
It's so stupid. It's insane.
It is insane.
Okay, Phil, all kidding aside, obviously there's wordplay in our episodes. So to answer your question, you asked how we get in the right mindset to do these puns. Do we drink punch? And the answer is, I mean, yes, we really do have to get in the zone. I start preparing 72 hours in advance. I first do the sensory deprivation chamber. I like to do that for like 13 or 14 hours just to clear my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to eat clean,
mm-hmm.
all liquid, all keto.
And that's tough to do liquid, all keto, right? I mean, that's mostly you're drinking marrow.
It's collagen. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just straight chicken collagen. You just, you know, thank God I have that Instapot, but I just get the, I go to the butcher and I just ask for the bones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I crank them while I'm in the deprivation tank.
Right.
High pressure, 12 hours. And it's a liquid by the end.
And then it's just down the gullet. It's thinking serum.
That's what I like to call it. Yeah. What do you do to prepare?
Mostly I eat cold pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get 4 or 5 hours of sleep the night before. And then those other 2 hours, I basically just, I have a huge Rolodex of Hollywood writers and screenwriters and comedians and friends, and I just call them all up and gather all of their jokes and ideas, and then I present them as my own.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know that was part of your process.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what's great about it. It's like, you know, different paths to get to the same side of the mountain.
God, I love that.
And all those people are listeners. So thanks, Will Ferrell. Thanks, Brad Pitt. Thanks, Richard Lewis, Sinbad, Paula Poundstone, Chelsea Handler, Wanda Sykes, Paul Reiser, Fran Drescher, of course, can't forget, Carol Burnett, Tony Danza, total professional. And of course, Alf, who really comes up with a lot of zingers. Speaker Pelosi, Carlos Mencia, Sally Fields. Thanks, Peggy Noonan. So, Phil, I mean, yeah, you nailed it. Except for one thing. We don't drink punch. Unless you consider an incredibly viscous, hot syrup made out of rendered meat punch.
I sometimes call it my meat punch.
I guess that's true. So Phil, you're right on all counts.
So once we have the story in hand, we call the listener back. And that brings us to another question we get all the time.
How do you guys screen the people that you talk to? Everybody you talk to seems to just be so witty and smart and do you guys coach them? Do you give them lines or do you guys rehearse the puns together?
Why are the listeners so good? I love this question and I love the fact that there are Reddit conspiracy theories that suggest that all of our listeners are staged or like paid actors. That's my favorite because they're absolutely not. These are just listeners of the show. But I also get it because I'm often amazed by how kind and funny and quick-witted the listeners are.
Yeah, I think we have a great audience.
That's producer Hadley Robinson.
And so, you know, we get a lot of people with great questions and people know what to expect. They know the tone of the show. So, you know, they're usually pretty excited to be on there and they're also like ready to play kind of, you know?
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking of Mark, who came on for the swearing episode and decided to beatbox on the fly for us.
All right, right. Look at me. Give me a second. I'll try to find the groove in it. I don't know. I kind of lost the groove. There's potential there, certainly.
Or Malik, whose dogs made a special cameo.
Could you howl for Flora? Come on.
I'll never forget listener Kurt. It still makes me laugh to think about when we made him read that sexy cheese poem.
Oh, crap. Here we go. Fill my holy churn with honey cheese. I can't get through this.
The listeners just add so much brightness to the show.
Also, like, drive what we talk about. You know, like, we're not asking these questions. You know, I've never worked somewhere else where it's not like, okay, I've come up with something that I think is interesting and I'm a professional at this, so I will tell the world what's interesting. You know, it's like, that is not how this works. It's like, you guys are you know, out there being super curious, wondering about things, and that drives what we talk about. And it's kind of like a constant conversation because I feel like, you know, we'll do one show and then that'll kind of like lead to all these other questions, you know? So it feels like this back and forth, even beyond just the like the one person who's talking to you in the episode. It feels like the show like kind of keeps morphing and growing as we hear from you and we report back.
That's true. Oh, that's such a nice idea. I think that's totally true, that it's a dialogue that extends beyond any individual episode. I love that idea. I want to end with a with a thank you. You listeners, you make this show what it is, and it's one of the best parts of my week is getting to talk to you and hearing your voicemails. So thank you for bringing us into your world and for listening. And keep calling us. 833-RING-ELT. Check out our show notes for links to all the episodes we played today.
This episode was produced by Jahi Whitehead, Hadley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron. Our fact-checker is Nicole Pasulka. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Music by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lore, Emma Munger, and Billy Libby. Mixed by Enoch Kim. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. No one has any questions about me? Goodbye.